Hey everyone, and welcome back to the First Act Podcast. This is part one of Conquering the Canadian Music Biz with Daryl Herz, founder of Indie Week, managing director of Downtown Music, and CD Baby. Listen in as we deconstruct major changes in the industry, how to thrive as an artist and business professional, and how you can forge your own path in this wild industry. This is an episode you won't want to miss.
And now, hosted by Harry G., this is your one-stop shop for hot talk straight from the top. Whether you're trying to build a job in pop, rock, or any other artsy schlock, here's your top dog with info that can't be bought, it's gotta be sought. So sit back, crack a six-pack, because we're about to chit-chat and rip facts. It's the First Act Podcast.
Daryl Herz, very, very excited to have you on the podcast today. For those of you who don't know Daryl, and like myself as well, we're going to be learning a little bit more about his story. Daryl is currently the owner and CEO of Indie Week. I believe that that is the case. But you also hold positions at Downtown Music and at CD Baby as well, overseeing a lot of the Canadian operations for these companies and some of their subsidiaries as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So Indie Week is my company. Absolutely. Started it about 20 years ago. And with CD Baby, I'm the market development rep in Canada for CD Baby, which is under the Downtown umbrella.
Very cool. Okay. Now I see. And so how would you really describe, let me actually back up a second. I know that you have a lot of different and varied experience in entertainment and in music in particular, but how would you describe your role in this crazy business?
Well, this actually came up in a conversation fairly recently. I believe I was at South By. I'm a problem solver. I think we've all sort of, instead of putting it into lanes and buckets and roles, ultimately we solve problems. Whether you're a manager, a producer, a tour manager, record label, always you're solving problems. And I think that that's what's gotten me through to this point. And so often you identify problems that it could be, do we have enough audience? Do we have enough attendance? Do we have enough brand awareness? What's the problem? How do we solve it? And so over the years, yes, I've done artist management, producer, promoter, venue booker, festival promoter, coordinator, sponsorships. I've kind of done a bit of the gamut, but it was always trying to solve whatever problems at hand. So I actually kind of just say I'm a problem solver these days.
It's a great way to position it. I've heard that in the past, like, you know, higher level, you know, agents, managers, well, really not even high level, any level, you are a problem solver. And that actually translates very well outside of entertainment as well for different types of roles, different industries. Ultimately, if you have the ability to solve problems, I mean, that makes you, that's a great superpower.
Yeah, it's something that keeps you employed. It's something that, you know, as a freelancer, I've been freelancing on digital graphics, websites since about 99. And I've had like clients like Canadian Tire. I helped launch their first website, Live Nation. I rebranded the company. I launched VIP Nation for them, all as a freelancer. We talked kind of briefly about digital nomad life. I tend to travel a fair bit and I do everything off my laptop. I'm at Starbucks right now. You know, I'm on the go a lot. And that's part of the problem solving. You know, it's being flexible. I've seen a lot of people turn down great opportunities because they just said no flat out without, I can solve that problem. I just need to do a bit of research. So it's kept me employable. And it's been a very interesting life. And I got to say, a lot of great stories, and we're still making more.
So before we jump into the background and, you know, sort of how you got to where you are today, what are some of the, if you can share with me maybe like one or two examples of some really big challenges that you had to kind of come in and be the problem solver. Can you share some of that with me?
Oh, well, there's one story that I've shared it a number of times, but in one day, first day of Indie Week, let's just say lightning, van accident, freight elevator broken, production company forgetting all 26 mics in the rental of equipment, foot broken of head production. That's just one day, first day of Indie Week. Checked in with my production crew. We were about to go pick up vans. In the process, I'm about to pick up all the cash for the floats for the doors, 24 venues. And the bank had been hit by lightning So no computers were working. So they can't give cash. I get a phone call from the van rental place. Do you need these vans? Because it was in an accident. And all the other vans were witnesses to the accident. And our production crew that year rented from Burlington, not Toronto. So they had to go out of town to get the gear. So it's even farther away. And when they got to the place, all the mics were missing. So then they had to go back and get mics. And the freight elevator had broken. So we had to use a four-person elevator, bring all of our equipment up for the event space, which is on the sixth floor. And at the end of the night, the production crew, our head, dropped an amp on his foot and broke it and had to go to the hospital. That was day one of a five-day festival.
Jeez. Wow. So there's a lot of fires that you had to put out, and you had to be able to very quickly, like on the fly, you know, solve the problems. And what do you feel in your life prepared you for things like this? I know that you're never fully prepared, but like what prepared you to have the confidence and the ability to say, okay, I'm going to stay calm, cool, and collected, and I'm actually going to know how to tackle each one of these things?
Well, I have a phrase that I use, and I actually posted about this exact phrase today. Figure it out. That's all your option is. And what prepped me was being in bands and on tour and buses breaking down, being broken into, venues running out of power, going out of business, having a fire or two. We get used to just on the go, always figuring it out, right? And I think managing your expectations, if you expect things to go perfect, you're always going to be let down with your expectations and you're always going to have stress. You can minimize stress by just simply saying, I know it won't go as planned. I just have to be flexible to adjust. But what you can do is preempt things. And what I feel a lot of people don't do is check on things. I often call myself as well. I'm a checker. I always say, hey, are you there? Are you still there? I'm here. Are we there? So it's like, hey, Ben, just checking. Are you going to be on time for sound check today? Hey, venue, making sure your sound guy is going to be here on time for sound check today. Hey, owner, making sure the venue is going to be open for us to load in for sound check today. Like I check everything and the problems will expose themselves much. It's going to get expose themselves much sooner, which buys you more time to fix them. Whereas if I waited and I show up and the venue's locked, oh, where's the owner's number? Try to figure that out. We get in. No sound person. All right, where's the sound person's number? All right, got him. But where's the band to sound check? So I preempt all that by checking everything that I can and having like a pre-flight checklist to make sure I'm consistently not missing any detail. And that helps make sure fires are put out before they happen. And I feel a lot of people today wait to react to something. So I say I'm proactive, not reactive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And this is really good advice for, you know, primarily we have a lot of students that are listening in and tuning in, teenagers, young adults that are, you know, looking to get their footing in entertainment. So, you know, these are ways that you can actually stand out even in your first internship. You know, when you're given a task, I'm trying to translate this, right? So because you're dealing with a lot of very managerial work and higher level, but if you're an intern coming into a role, one of the first biggest challenges is how do I get people to trust me and rely on me so that they'll actually give me work continuously? Because if as soon as they give you one thing, it might just be like, you know, can you proofread this copy for marketing, you know, or can you go get the mail? If you're already having trouble with that, or you're not double checking that there's no spelling mistakes in that marketing copy before you send it back to the marketing coordinator or marketing assistant or marketing director or CMO. Right? Doesn't matter who you're sending it to. You need to make sure that your job is done perfectly and that you've checked everything that you can to make sure that it's running as smoothly as possible. Because if that's when you start to develop those skills as a problem solver.
If I could add to that, because that's great advice. I also try to focus on what is the actual goal? What is the results we are looking for? If you achieve that, sometimes the path doesn't matter. And I think that that's sometimes the path gets in the way of actually achieving the goal. Sometimes, like I teach at school, I've been teaching for over 20 years as well, but sometimes schools teach, here's sort of the framework loosely, but we know it's going to not be the same all the time.
Never going to fit.
Never going to fit.
Never going to fit perfectly. No.
Exactly. But we work hard with interns as well. We really believe students are the future. We need to work with students. We need to give opportunities to students. We need to help elevate students because they're our next wave in this industry. And a lot of times we go, well, that's not what I was told. And sometimes it's like, okay, but it's never going to be exactly what you're told. You have to be flexible. So one, you have to be flexible that it's not going to always be the way you want it. Two, you have to communicate. If something comes up, that's the time to bring it up, not hold it in, not wait until, oh, there's not enough time to fix this if there's something. So communication is super key. Asking questions, that is what's going to put you on the map with whoever you're working with and make it memorable. That person I trust, because they're going to bring up something that's not comfortable. Sometimes it's like, I had to do this. I made a mistake with one of my clients, literally the first project working on. Well, it wasn't necessarily a mistake. It just wasn't going to happen the way we planned it. And one of my bosses flew in from the States and I was like, I got to tell him. You know, I could either wait and him find out after, or, you know, I pulled him aside right away and I said, look, I really respect you and I'm, you know, working hard, but just know something's not going to be exactly as we planned. And I need to make sure you're aware of this. And I outlined it very clear. First moment we had the chance to, not later. And he respected that. And he gave me great advice. And I really took that as a learning about leadership. And from that point on, you know, I really respect when anybody brings up a situation that we know is uncomfortable. Something might not be happening as planned, but the way to fix it is to recognize it, not try to sugarcoat it. Really recognize it for what it is, attack it, get it solved, get it done, move on, and move on to better days. So that's really what I look for in a lot of people when I'm working with them. Communication is number one. They might not even have all the experience in a certain category, but if they communicate, we can get there. We can work together. So communication to me is number one.
And, you know, just to build on what you're saying too, I know we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole here about advice and guidance for, you know, the next wave of the music industry, but you know, really to grow, you know, to build relationships, you need to be able to communicate. And this whole business is founded, or the whole foundation is based on your relationships that you have with people. If you're somebody that even if you can't solve the problem on your own, if you're able to communicate like you did with your superior in that role, you know, or your boss or whoever it was, right, in that position, if you were able to kind of go to them and say, hey, listen, I need you to be aware of this. Maybe you didn't even have the solution, but together you can work together to come up with the right solution. And that's really where you learn, and that's where you actually build great relationships. And people remember these stories. They don't always remember all of the shows that they booked, but they remember how you handled different situations.
Absolutely. It's how you build trust. And from trust, that's where you grow to the next level. Like, that's the one thing is, in that moment, I built trust with him. And he trusted me with many more projects. I trusted him, like, to be able to go, hey, you know what? I can talk to you. I can come up and bring other things. And I made where much smaller items were easy to talk about because we'd already gone through something a little bit more difficult. So communication is absolutely key, and trust. Relationships is what this business is about. And one thing to talk about the trust side, it's really interesting. The people I've worked with on the higher levels, never a contract. It's almost handshake deals, or like, if you said you're going to do that, great, I expect you to do that. And it's your word. And I find some of the people coming up, the newer ones, it's like, oh, well, where's my agreement? And what's my role? And define this, define that. I'm like, that's not the music biz. It kind of is, but it's kind of not. We're kind of everybody. Whatever problem is happening, like going back to that, we solved it. And it's not going to be pigeonholed. So sometimes a red flag is when people come to me with agreements and contracts and this, that, I understand a necessity for it in certain cases, but when it's the main thing, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that, I'm sorry, if that's your first thing to worry about and not the problem,
it's a red flag.
We might not be the right fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to, you know, to close the chapter on what we're talking about here, it's, you know, mutual trust and respect. I always say it, all of my guests have for sure heard me say this on other episodes, that every single relationship comes down to mutual trust and respect. If you don't have either one of those or both, then you don't really have a relationship. And that holds true for business relationships, but also personal relationships. So
true. But I'm going to interject a little bit in that. I also don't trust anything. Just so you know.
Anything or anyone?
Anything. And that means anyone. In the sense that, going back to when I was saying I'm about the checker, so many times, oh, thanks for reminding me, I forgot.
Yeah.
When I say trust, it's kind of like, I don't trust it's going to be exactly going to be there unless I've checked it. And I've just found so many times somebody has missed something. Somebody, like, it's funny, when I was promoting the shows, I used to do this once a month at Sneaky D's. I started printing off all the emails that I sent the bands because I got tired of every time a band come up, do we get drink tickets? Oh, you didn't read that, did you? Here's the email that I sent you. Hey, do we get guest list? Well, here's the email I sent you.
Let me check the email I sent you.
This is the thing. We're in an age where actually nobody reads anything. So I have a hard time trusting that the details were there unless they've proven themselves that they've understood what's been sent to them. And that's just a personal thing I've seen. And in running our business and events, I have to make sure things are double-checked, triple-checked all the time to make sure nothing falls through the cracks, because we want to put on the best experience we can.
That's very interesting that you say that, because, you know, the start of my career was in music, working across, like, artist management, concerts, and I was a talent agent for a little bit. And I pivoted my career into tech. And when I went to become a developer, because I had a business idea, and I didn't have any tech-savvy friends that were ready to tackle the music industry with me, so I said, well, I got to start it on my own. You start learning how to code, and the biggest challenge is making sure that you're following things to a T. It's having that attention to detail. And it's interesting because I was working with some of the largest acts and at one of the most iconic clubs in New York City, and we were recognized for what we did. But there's still so much room for improvement. And it's very interesting that you're saying that, particularly about the music industry, when, you know, that was something that I noticed in software development, is like, you need to follow things to a T. Otherwise, your code's not going to run. You know, like, you know, the show will still go, but you're missing things. You know, that's why you need a checker.
And I come from coding too, right? So I understand that. And that is my mindset. And it's funny, I literally talked to my staff about this stuff, right? Where I remember teaching HTML and a student would be like, wait a second, wait, you're telling me I missed a dot and the entire page doesn't work?
Right.
Yes. A dot makes that big of a difference? Yes. And they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, you just said it. A dot makes that much difference. Missing it means the whole thing doesn't work. So it really trains us into, like, get it right the first time. And I say that phrase because I went to music college and my head of music said that in music, as a musician, if you're on the late show, you get one chance to play that correct. Do you want to be the guy out of tune? Do you want to be the guy out of key? You want to be the person that is out of time? No. So as a musician, being trained to sit in on a session somewhere, whether what genre, what key, get it right the first time, was drilled into my head from our music school. And I've kind of just sort of lived with that. And I know I won't get it right the first time, but I strive to. And at least I feel I get closer to the result if I'm striving for that, than just going, well, I'm trying. So I do try to get it right the first time. Thank you, Rick Garn.
All right, I want to shift gears for a moment. And I want to do a little bit about your background. So you've sort of teased us with different areas of your career. And, you know, now you're managing director at Downtown. You oversee a lot of things over at CD Baby. You have your own business. But how did you really get to this point? So let's kind of backtrack a second. Are you from Toronto originally?
I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta. And,
okay.
I moved in 95, basically for music, because the music industry is in Toronto.
But moved like in high school, in college? Did you go to college?
I'm pretty old. I've gone through college in Edmonton, went on the road a couple of years, well, off and on for a bit, and then moved here in 95. Got here, the band I moved with didn't like Toronto, moved back to Edmonton. I was in Toronto by myself. I didn't know one person. I was working at HMV, which was a great musician gig, but they started kind of phasing us out because we were the ones always going, can I get Saturday off? I got a gig. Can I get Friday off as well? Probably won't be good shape on Sunday. You know, like we turn into those people. So eventually I just stopped working there. And then I took a 3.5 month desktop publishing course to save money on not having to hire somebody to do a CD cover or a poster. And literally, I really went full on into it. Within 2 weeks after it, I got my first freelance gig, which paid more than any of my retail jobs I had. And so I've been completely self-employed ever since, doing digital. And
what was that first gig and for who?
The first gig was a pamphlet for a personal trainer. And at the same time, I also got to do work on a catalog for a company called VizTech. And that led to working on an annual report for Cadillac Fairview. The school I went to called me back and hired me as a teaching assistant, which led to being an instructor there for 14 years. Like there was multiple things happening all at once. And I became an assistant to a designer and I was still in bands. And then I started booking a venue. And through booking the venue, I started Indie Week. So I had these two paths going at the same time.
Which venue did you book?
It was called B-Side. Yeah, it was called B-Side, downtown Toronto. It doesn't exist. It's a homeless shelter now. But yeah, it was B-Side. But I really cut my teeth there. And that's a funny story because a friend of mine was doing sound at the bar that they had downstairs and special events. And he's like, you should really come here and pitch them that you'll book shows because it's just an empty bar upstairs. So I had a meeting with them and I came back and I said, I think it was like August, September, and July. And I said, here's all the gigs until Christmas. I filled your calendar. And they're like, we thought you're only booking a show. I thought we wanted to book a show. I'm like, well, I booked your venue for till Christmas. And so I gave myself a job. A lot of great people went through there. Ricky Tilo, who is Lady Gaga's music, like head. Why can't I think of everybody right now? The guitarist for Bieber and his music director at the time. Like he's gone on to other things, but he was through there. The guitarist from Toronto, that Donna Grantees, who ended up playing for Prince. So we had, it was like this hotbed of this new talent, but nobody knew who they were at the time. So it was kind of a venue that was hit or miss, whether it was full or not, but the talent was always great. Karen Kozowski, she's a top producer in Nashville right now. She was through there. A lot of great stuff, you know?
Thanks for tuning in to part one. Stay tuned for part two. Remember, new episodes release every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific. See you there.